You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save more than $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $948 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, it's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This podcast contains adult language and content. The stories shared on this podcast are told from the perspective of the authors. Their accounts and opinions are personal and do not reflect the stance of the production team. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. I live in a college town that is close to a lot of amusement parks and tourist areas. The cities on the outskirts have entire gated communities filled with huge vacation rentals. Some of these houses are basically mansions with pools, game rooms, theaters, and more bedrooms than anybody would realistically need. A couple of months ago, one of my friends rented one of those villas for the weekend and threw an end-of-semester party. It wasn't an open house party posted online or anything like that. She just invited her friends and some of her cousins around our age. Everyone was allowed to bring a few people, though. I went with my boyfriend. At the busiest point, there were probably 30 to 40 people spread throughout the house. Some people were outside by the pool. Some were drinking in the kitchen, and other people were in the game room. There was also a theater upstairs that people kept going in and out of. A smaller group of us planned on spending the night, so people had overnight bags, purses, chargers, and blankets lying around. Most people were planning to leave later, though. I first noticed this guy maybe an hour or two into the party. He looked to be around our age, probably early 20s, but there was something about him that immediately stood out. He was dressed normally, talking to people and acting completely comfortable. I assumed that he came with one of my friend's cousins because I had never met all of their friends. I remember seeing him talking to my boyfriend and some other guys near the game room. When I walked over, he joined the conversation like he already knew everybody. He even knew a couple of people's names, so I didn't question it. The first time someone asked me who he was, it was honestly funny. One of my friends pulled me aside and asked me if I knew who he was, and I said no. We were all drinking, so it became a joke for a while. People kept asking each other who invited him, but nobody seemed seriously concerned about it. Eventually, someone said that they remembered seeing him walk through the front door with a group that had gone outside to get drinks and other things from their cars. When somebody finally asked the group, they said that they didn't know him either. They remembered him walking inside directly behind them, but they thought that he had already been at the party and had just gone outside for a minute. One of them had held the door open for him without even thinking about it. Now, at that point, we were all laughing. Who the hell is this man? It was weird, but there were so many people there that we still thought there had to be an explanation. Maybe the person who invited him was outside. Maybe they had already left. Maybe one of the drunk people there had invited somebody and forgotten. He wasn't standing in a corner staring at people or doing anything that screamed danger. He was social, playing games with people, and moved around the party like everyone else. At one point, I was standing near a conversation where he commented on how big the house was. He remarked, "There are so many rooms, but there are also mad people here. Where is everybody going to sleep?" It didn't seem like a weird question because people were already talking about who was staying and who was leaving. Someone explained that only a smaller group was spending the night. A few couples had bedrooms, and some people would probably sleep in the theater because it had large reclining seats. The theater was the main reason anybody was going upstairs during the party. People had been watching music videos and hanging out in there throughout the night, so nobody really paid attention to who was going up or coming back down. Later that night, one of my friends got way too drunk. Another friend helped her upstairs and put her in one of the bedrooms so that she could sleep it off. That room was also being used by a few people who were staying overnight, so there were bags and other things inside. My friend left the bedroom door open because people were going in and out, so anyone passing by could check on her. A little while later, the same friend who had helped her upstairs went back to make sure she was okay. The bedroom door was almost completely shut. She knew that she had left it open, but at first she assumed someone had closed it because of the noise downstairs. When she opened the door, that guy was inside the room alone with our friend. Our friend had passed out on the bed. Her purse was open near her, and the guy was standing by the nightstand, holding her phone. My other friend immediately asked him what he was doing. He said the phone had been ringing and he was trying to figure out who it belonged to. Then he said he had heard someone throwing up earlier and wanted to make sure that they were okay. My friend told him he didn't even know her and had no reason to be alone in her bedroom with her, especially with the door basically closed. He kept saying she was misunderstanding the situation and that he was only trying to help. The arguing woke our drunk friend up enough for her to look at him and ask who he was. My other friend started yelling downstairs, asking who brought him, telling whoever he came with that they both needed to leave. People started coming upstairs and gathering in the hallway. At first, everyone expected somebody to come forward and claim him, but literally nobody did. One of my friend's boyfriends is a lot more confrontational than the rest of us. He walked up to the guy and directly asked him who he came with. The guy said the people he knew had already left. My friend's boyfriend asked for their names. He gave one name first, but nobody knew who he was talking about. Then he said he might have gotten the person's name wrong because they had only recently met. Someone pointed out that earlier he had acted like he knew one of my friend's cousins. He said we had misunderstood him. According to him, he never said he knew them. He only said that he had been hanging around with that group during the party. My friend's boyfriend told him nobody here knew him, so he had to leave. What really bothered me was how calm the guy was. He wasn't getting angry, embarrassed, or even nervous. He just shrugged and said something like, "My bad, I thought it was an open party. It's not that serious." He then walked downstairs and left. For a few seconds, everyone stood there. He acted so casual that it almost made us feel like we were overreacting and had kicked out some confused, drunk person. Then the friend who had been sleeping checked her purse. Some of her cash was gone. That was when everyone started checking their belongings. Someone couldn't find their car keys. Another girl's wallet was missing. Somebody else couldn't find their AirPods. A group of us started searching the house. When they checked the theater upstairs, someone opened the storage compartment inside one of the reclining seats. There were several things inside that clearly didn't belong together. There were two wallets, a set of car keys, AirPods, a watch, loose cash, and a couple of pieces of jewelry. Two driver's licenses had been removed from the wallets and placed at the bottom of the compartment. Both IDs belonged to girls who were at the party. Everything belonged to different people and had been taken from different places around the house. One person had left her wallet in the kitchen. The car keys had been on the table near the pool door. The AirPods had been inside a jacket in the game room. Nothing technically left the house because he was confronted before he could take it, but someone had gathered all of it and hidden it inside the theater. We couldn't prove that he had moved every single item, but he had just been found alone in a bedroom holding our friend's phone with her purse open right beside him. People also started remembering that he had gone upstairs multiple times throughout the night. Nobody thought anything of it because the theater was up there and people had been coming and going. We didn't immediately contact the police because there were a lot of people drinking at the party, including people who should not have been. Everyone was worried the police would show up, treat him like a regular party crasher, and focus more on everything happening around the house. Nobody wanted my friend to get in trouble or lose the rental. In hindsight, we probably should have called anyway. Since the house was under my friend's name, she contacted the property manager and resort security. The rest of us only know what happened afterward through the updates that she gave us. The house had a camera facing the front entrance, and the community had security cameras throughout. The front camera showed the group that we remembered coming back from their cars. The guy was walking towards the house alone and several feet behind them. Right before they reached the door, he sped up and fell into step with them. When one of the people held the door for him, he walked inside without saying anything. The group thought that he was already with us. Everyone inside thought he had came with them. Security found more footage of him walking around the community before he entered our villa. They couldn't figure out how he originally got through the gate. He wasn't associated with my friend's reservation, and there were no guest passes under his name. From what the property manager told my friend, they checked with the nearby villas that he had been seen around and contacted the relevant renters and property managers. Nobody recognized him or claimed that he was their guest. The property manager was apparently furious with the resort because the community advertised itself as heavily secured, yet somehow a random person got in through the gate, wandered around the neighborhood, and walked into a rental without being stopped. For a few weeks, my friend didn't hear anything else, but then the property manager contacted her again. Security had stopped the same guy inside the resort on another occasion. I don't know exactly what he was doing at the time, but he wasn't staying there and wasn't listed as anyone's approved guest. They checked his identification and connected him to the footage from our party. His name wasn't common, so my friend looked him up. She found a Facebook profile that matched him and then found court records and an older local article. He had previously been convicted of theft. He had also been arrested for breaking into a home in a nearby neighborhood and taking wallets, electronics, and other belongings. I don't know what legally happened after our incident. My friend was told that the footage and information were given to law enforcement and that he was permanently banned from the resort. Since nothing actually left the house, I'm not sure whether he was ever charged for what happened at our party. I still think about how easily he got inside. He didn't force his way through the gate or break into the house. He just walked behind a group of people, and everyone just made assumptions for him. He stayed for hours. He talked to us, learned people's names, and he heard that some of us planned on sleeping there. Had my friend not gone back upstairs when she did, I don't know how long he would have stayed or what else he would have done. The scariest part is that if nobody had questioned him, he probably would have spent the night in that house with us. Have you noticed your sheets slipping off the corners lately? Or your pillows not feeling supportive anymore? Most people keep their bedding way longer than they should. It slowly wears down and you don't realize how much it's affecting your sleep until you finally replace it. The truth is, most people think that they need a new mattress, but the biggest difference usually comes from replacing what actually touches you every night. And that's why I upgraded my bed with Boll & Branch. Before the switch, my sheets were pilling. Corners were never staying put. My pillows had completely flattened. The moment I got into Boll & Branch sheets, I noticed it immediately, and their products were incredibly soft, breathable, and they actually have gotten softer after washing. Boll & Branch makes everything your bed needs. Signature organic cotton sheets, pillows, blankets, and comforters. All designed to be breathable and get better over time. Most people start with these signature sheets and buy two sets to rotate. I added the waffle blanket and the whole bed just feels complete now. Upgrade your sleep with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/meat with code meat. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com/meat, code meat, to unlock 15% off. Exclusions apply. When I first moved away from home, I moved into a studio apartment that was basically just a loft accessed via a garage. My house key was literally just a garage remote. The studio had previously been inhabited by my friend Claire. She was moving interstate and needed someone to take over the lease. The rent was incredibly cheap. It seemed like a steal, so I moved in. The landlord, John, seemed like an odd guy. He just had a weird vibe about him. Claire told me that he was in the British Special Air Service back in the UK. He talked a lot and came over constantly. He'd often just be there in the garage when I got home, and he'd talk my ear off. But again, the rent was cheap. So I moved in. After the first week, I noticed that there were cameras attached to the ceiling facing the bed. If they had been there when I first moved in, I wouldn't have noticed them. I contacted John, and he told me that they were just part of a security system that he hadn't set up yet, and basically weren't plugged in or connected. But I didn't believe him. I tried to kind of joke about it and said that even if they weren't plugged in, I felt like they were looking at me, so I asked if we could remove them and he agreed. I still behaved for the rest of my time there as though there were hidden cameras because I just assumed there were. Living there was pretty nerve-wracking. John would show up at all hours to use the garage downstairs, so I'd get woken up early in the morning by hearing my quote-unquote front door open with no idea who was entering unless I poked my head down the ladder. Yes, I accessed my studio via a ladder. He would be down there doing who knows what with power tools at 8 in the morning on a Sunday. One weekend, I went to stay with my boyfriend. I was gone the whole weekend. When I returned, I could tell that someone had stayed at my house. My bed was disheveled, and there were short black hairs all over my white pillow. In the bathroom, my towel and floor mat were damp. But the weirdest part was that someone had used my toothbrush. I'm a bit of a weirdo when it comes to dental hygiene, and I am absolutely meticulous about the state of my toothbrush. It needs to be spotless after use, and placed standing up, not touching anything. It was lying on the edge of the sink in a puddle of water covered in bits of toothpaste, like someone had used it and only bothered half rinsing it. To this day, I can't imagine what would possess someone to use somebody else's toothbrush. Well, I moved out shortly after, but during my time there, I barely slept a wink, and I would have a heavy wooden baseball bat with me in bed like a teddy bear. So John, thanks for making my first experience out on my own so bizarre and scary, but let's not meet. This happened a long time ago, and it comes from a brief yet highly disturbing encounter. Despite it being brief, it would eventually leave a long-lasting impression on me and will likely remain one of the most messed-up things that I've ever experienced. It started when I was 14 years old. I'm a male. To give you some context, I was one of those part of the group but not part of the group types. I was shy and reserved. I had friends, but not really beyond school hours. So when one of my friends wanted me to hang out with her, it was a welcome change to my quiet after-school routine of playing video games by myself. We walked back to her house from school and she invited me in. As I walked in, I saw who I quickly assumed was her dad. He had his back to me and he was preparing food. This was the first time I had been introduced to him, and my first impression would quickly be, putting it very mildly, not great at all. As my friend introduced me, he turned around to face me, holding a large kitchen knife. He then suddenly lurched towards me, as if he stumbled forward, and then yelled, "Whoa!" He quickly turned the knife, pushing the handle quite hard into my chest. Then he smirked with the eeriest expression on his face and said, "Only joking." My heart was pounding. I was freaking out as I nervously tried to laugh it off, whatever that was. I'm sure my face clearly said otherwise, though. My friend just laughed it off as just dad fooling around and led me to their living room. But as I sat down, I couldn't shake the uneasy gut feeling that I had by that point. I tried to talk to my friend, but her dad promptly entered the living room. They had music playing moderately loud on the stereo, and he cranked the volume to a level that sounded like a live band was in there with us. My friend followed him to the kitchen and soon returned. She told me that she had to go to the store to get something for him and asked if I wanted to wait for her, as it wasn't too far. Given the rather creepy encounter, my gut instinct was to have none of it, and I didn't want to ignore it, so I quickly got up and I left to go to the store with my friend. I can't say exactly how the rest of the day went, as I can't really remember, but I do know I didn't return to her house again. I wouldn't speak of what happened after that for quite some time and just chalked it up to some really freaky interaction, and I locked it away in my mind. However, it didn't end there. My friend's dad set foot in our house a year later, dropping my friend off at my family party that we were having. I didn't interact with him then, though my dad offered him a beer and later recalled how he just stood in a corner alone watching everyone. I would see my friend's dad for the third time a couple of years later. That time, it was on TV. As the face of the man convicted for the abduction and murder of a woman who went missing a week prior. As I was watching this, I stood there while the story broke, detailing who he was. I will never, for as long as I live, forget the sensation of blood turning to ice in my veins. My parents later commented on how they literally saw the color drain from my face in that moment. Yet, in the days that followed, it only got worse. He would go on to confess, while in custody, to the abduction and murder of a woman who had been missing for 20 years by that point. Following corroboration of things that he had said previously, along with the expert analysis, the police were led to believe that he may have actually been a prolific serial killer. He was soon probed as a potential suspect in almost half a dozen unsolved missing person cases. However, due to lack of evidence and further confession, his involvement of these remains unclear. My mind still occasionally wanders to that first encounter. Even though his choice of victim seemed to be women, I can't help but think about that music cranked up so loud, how my friend asked me if I wanted to wait for her at the house. If I had stayed, what would have happened to me? Was there a part of him that was curious about switching things up a little? Or was that knife held to my chest truly the harmless joke of a serial killer? If you're a woman who's already thinking about your online safety, you're not being paranoid, you're being smart. Running a show like Let's Not Meet, I hear stories constantly about people being found, followed, and targeted. And a lot of it starts with personal information just sitting on the internet for anyone to find. Your name, address, phone number, all available on data broker sites without you ever even putting it there yourself. And that's why I use and partner with DeleteMe. DeleteMe removes your info from hundreds of data broker websites so you don't have to track it down yourself. It's not a one-time thing either. DeleteMe is constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you don't want online. I've been using them for a couple of years now, and they send me regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found and what they removed. Removing your data will help you protect yourself and identify theft, stalking, and harassment. And the New York Times Wirecutter named them their top pick for data removal services. Stay smart out there, ladies. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe. Now, at a special discount for our listeners, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/notmeet and use promo code notmeet at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is if you go to joindeleteme.com/notmeet and enter code notmeet at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/notmeet, code notmeet. About a month ago, I moved into a small house near the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. It's pretty secluded, which was actually part of the appeal. Everything was great until about a week ago, when some strange things started happening. The house sits back on about an acre of land, most of which is covered in thick, dense woods. Toward the back of the property, the terrain gets so rough and the trees grow so closely together that you can't really go any further. You can't see very far into the woods either. Right now, I live here alone, but my brother and his dog are supposed to move in with me in a couple of weeks. The house itself is pretty small. There's a basement with a sliding glass door leading into the backyard, which was surrounded by a tiny picket fence that looked like it could fall over if someone breathed on it too hard. Since my brother's dog isn't trained well enough yet to reliably come back when called, I decided to replace it with something a bit sturdier. That was when the first creepy thing happened. I drove to Lowe's to pick up some basic lumber for the fence. When I came home, a man was standing on my doorstep. He was looking through the window beside my front door. There was no way that he didn't hear me pull into the driveway, but he didn't react. Even when I got out and slammed the car door, he didn't turn around. Eventually, I called out, "Can I help you?" He finally looked at me. "I'm just your neighbor," he said. "I wanted to say hello." I was carrying some of the wood I had bought, so I put it down and held out my hand to introduce myself. He didn't shake it, he just stared at it. At that point, I had had enough of the interaction, so I told him it was nice to meet him and said I was busy working on the fence. Instead of leaving, he stood outside my house for another couple of minutes while I carried the wood inside. The entire time, he seemed more interested in looking around my house rather than talking to me. When I finally felt creeped out enough, I just shut the door. 2 days later, while I was working on the fence, another neighbor came over to introduce herself. I'll call her Mrs. Henderson. The interaction couldn't have been more different. She was friendly and told me about the area. Apparently, people don't move in or out very often, and I was the first new person in the neighborhood in about 11 years. She told me a little bit about the neighbors and said that most people around here generally kept to themselves. I asked her about the man who had shown up at my house. I told her he was around 6 feet tall, probably mid-50s, with gray hair and brown eyes. When I described him, Mrs. Henderson knew exactly who I was talking about. Then she told me something I really wish I had not heard. The people who lived in my house before were a widow and her teenage daughter, whom she homeschooled. According to Mrs. Henderson, they eventually moved away because this man started stalking her daughter. Needless to say, that made his decision to stand outside my house and look through my window feel a lot different. But nothing else happened for a while. That is, until one late night at exactly 2:37 in the morning, I woke up to a tapping on my bedroom window. I remember the exact time because I immediately looked at my clock. My bedroom window is about 4 feet above the ground outside, so at first I tried to convince myself that it was an animal, maybe a bird or something. I didn't know. The tapping stopped, so I started to settle back down. But less than 2 minutes later, I heard three loud bangs against my window. I immediately got out of bed, grabbed my hunting .22 from the closet, and crouched behind the bed. When I peeked over, I saw the outline of someone standing outside my bedroom window. For about 30 seconds, I just stayed there, scared, staring at this figure. Then I heard a voice. "I need your help." I immediately recognized it. It was my neighbor. I then pulled the curtain open and he was standing on the other side of the glass. I had my .22 pointed toward him, but he didn't react. He didn't say, "Don't shoot," and he didn't repeat that he needed help. He didn't explain why he was standing outside the bedroom window at 3 in the morning, but just pointed behind himself toward the fence that I had been building. Against my better judgment, I went outside to see what he was talking about. That was when I saw the fence. It had looked like someone had driven straight through it. There were tire tracks in the mud leading across my property, stopping at the destroyed section of the fence, and then reversing back across the grass. Then I looked at my neighbor's car. His tires were covered in mud. The tracks led from my backyard toward his vehicle. I yelled, "What the fuck?" He still barely reacted. Finally, he just said, "Your fence." Then he got into his car and drove away. I've completely scrapped the fence idea for now, mostly because I'm exhausted and, frankly, freaked out. This is still happening, and I'm not sure what to do yet. I haven't contacted the police yet because I genuinely don't know whether he intentionally drove over my fence or if something else happened. But even if destroying the fence somehow was an accident, there are a few things I cannot explain. Why was this man driving around my backyard in the middle of the night? And why was he standing outside my bedroom window at 2:37 in the morning? I'm a 24-year-old woman. When I was around 7 or 8 years old, I had a best friend who lived right around the corner from me. We grew up in a quiet suburban town where you didn't really hear about crime all that much. My friend, who we'll call B, lived in a house on a corner with a pretty large front yard and a little garden area with rocks closer to the sidewalk at the end of her yard. We often liked to sit on the rocks and talk about whatever kids talked about at that age. I remember it being dusk, a warm summer night. We were so distracted by our conversation, neither of us initially noticed the same car had driven by multiple times. Mind you, her road was a quiet side street, so it would be a bit odd for a car to be driving around in circles. The only reason we finally noticed the car was because they actually pulled over on the street right in front of us. Initially, I remember thinking that they needed directions. This is probably pretty naive of me in hindsight, because who would ask kids for directions? It wasn't until we saw both their car doors swing open that the gravity of the situation began to sink in. Keep in mind, the street was only about 8 feet from where we were sitting in my friend B's yard. Both individuals seemed to be men wearing hoodies with their hoods up, and the passenger immediately lunged at us without saying anything. My friend screamed and ran towards her front door. In total shock, I was a bit slower to react. I noticed he also held something reflective in his right hand. Likely it was a knife. He almost grabbed me, but I made a run for it just in time and caught up to my friend at the front door. For whatever reason, B's family locked the door. She had an older sister who accidentally locked it without realizing we were playing outside. I vividly remember banging on the door with tears streaming down my face. I remember screaming for them to please open up. The men did not chase us to the door, but they didn't leave either. I remember looking over my shoulder and seeing them smirking and standing near their car. It felt like they were waiting to see if we were home alone. A moment later, which felt like an eternity, B's mom swung the door open, and both men jumped into their car and peeled out. They actually left tire marks on the road from how furiously they whipped around and sped off. B's mom, who also saw the car peel out, was extremely upset and immediately called the police. I remember my mom also being called. B and I were both questioned at her house by officers who arrived soon after. B and I mentioned that we had briefly noticed a car a couple of times, but we didn't put two and two together until things started to take a turn for the worse. I never heard anything else about this after that day, but this experience remains burned into my memory. I still get anxious thinking about what could have happened if that front door didn't open when it did. How many passwords do you actually know off the top of your head? Not a guess, not autofill, just like passwords that you actually remember. For most people, it's two or three, reused everywhere, every day. And that's exactly the kind of issue that Keeper fixes for yourself and even your whole work team. I'll be honest, I used to be that person with the same password slightly tweaked across every account. And once I really thought about what that meant for my security, it was pretty unsettling. One weak password really is an open door to your bank account, inbox, everything. Keeper slams that door shut. Keeper is a password manager that creates strong, unique passwords for all your accounts, stores them securely in one place, and logs you in automatically across all your devices, so you never have to remember, guess, or worry about getting locked out of your accounts again. It doesn't feel like extra security, and that is the point. Autofill, Face ID, fingerprint login, it's fast enough that protection just happens in the background. Whether you're running a household or a business, Keeper extends to your whole team too. You control who accesses what, share logins securely, and keep data protected without adding extra work to anyone's day. Millions of people use Keeper when they want their accounts actually locked down tight. Right now, Keeper is offering 60% off personal and family plans at keepersecurity.com/meet. This incredible offer is only for podcast listeners. That's keepersecurity.com/meet for 60% off personal and family plans. And if you're running a team at work, check out Keeper's business plans. Just make sure that you use our link so they know that we sent you. keepersecurity.com/meet. I'm a teenager, and I help my dad out on our allotment. If you don't know, an allotment is like a mini farm. You can plant vegetables out there and have animals like chickens or rabbits to care for. This happened a few years ago, but it still creeps me out. On this evening, my dad said that we needed to go to the allotment to feed our chickens as he forgot to feed them earlier in the day. It was around 8 p.m. when I agreed and got in the car and started driving. When we arrived at our allotment, which is a 15-minute drive away, it was already dark outside. It wasn't pitch black, but still dark. I opened the gates to the allotment, let my dad drive in, then closed them. As I was about to go, I saw a black car outside. The car belonged to a guy who used to be chill with my dad, but they both kind of fell out of touch. My dad said the guy had been having a rough time since he had been going through a divorce and had his kids taken away by their mother. The guy lives on the allotment now, and he has been sleeping there. Keep in mind, there are generally other people there too, as there are about 20 allotments in the area. But when we got there that night, there was no one else there except for me, my dad, and this guy. After my dad parked the car, we got out and started getting the food for the chickens out of the trunk. While my dad was doing that, I looked at his ex-friend's allotment, only to see him staring at us. Now, it was dark, so I could only see his silhouette, but I knew he was staring at us. I had a gut feeling, but I decided to brush it off. We went to our allotment, fed the chickens, and were about to go home until my dad almost forgot about something. So he then went to the shed at the end of the allotment to fetch something. I was going to follow him, but I had a feeling that I needed to wait outside instead. As I called out to my dad, asking how much longer it would take for him to find what he needed, I heard something behind me. I then turned back to see our gate being opened. It was getting darker, so I really couldn't see what was going on at first, but the guy was trying to enter our allotment quietly. When he saw me, he locked eyes with me, staring at me for a moment, and then slowly closed the gate before disappearing. I didn't react or say anything, I just stood there. I thought about telling my dad, but I didn't want to scare him or anything like that. When my dad finally stepped out of the shed, we were able to go. As we were leaving, we heard a sound like an axe hitting wood. But the sound was going on nonstop. We knew something was wrong, so we quickly walked to our car, started it, and went to the gate. As I got out of the car to open the gate, I felt creeped out about the guy being around in the allotment, so I quickly opened it to let my dad drive out. As soon as I was closing it, I saw something that terrified me. The guy was now just standing about 20 meters away looking at me. I couldn't see any details, though. There was just darkness. He was holding something in his hand, but then he just moved and dove into some bushes. My dad got out of his car to lock the gate. He looked at the bushes through the closed gate before rushing back to the car. When we started driving, I asked my dad what he saw. He said he saw the guy hiding in the bushes, squatting and looking at us. My dad said that he saw him holding something as well. It was an axe or a knife, something like that. We left terrified, but we tried to just laugh it off, knowing that we were probably close to being attacked or worse. We went back to the allotment again a few days later at the same time, 8 p.m. We saw the guy's car there, so we knew that we needed to be quick with feeding the chickens. As we did so, everything was going fine until we were about to leave. My dad stopped me, and we hid behind a blue shed. My dad said, "He's there. In the bushes." My heart dropped. We quickly ran to the car, got in, closed the doors, and drove off. For a second, I did see him. He had an axe, and it looked like he wanted to sneak up on us, maybe to harm us. It felt like he wanted to kill us. When I was 21, I worked as an assistant teacher. I had plans to spend the summer visiting friends in another state, so I subleased my apartment and stayed with my parents for a couple of weeks before I left. They lived in a rural area of Wisconsin, just south of Madison. At the time, I loved running. After work, I'd often head to a nearby park for a jog. Calling this place a quote-unquote park is probably generous. It was really just a secluded one-mile loop through dense woods. The first third climbed steadily uphill. The middle section leveled out and the final stretch sloped back down toward the parking area. The upper portion of the trail ran alongside a rocky quarry, and there was only a small gravel lot at the trailhead. Looking back, running there alone probably wasn't the smartest decision. One afternoon after work, I started my usual run. About a third of the way up the hill, the overwhelming sense of panic hit me out of nowhere. Nothing had happened. I hadn't seen anyone, nor had I heard anything unusual. I just suddenly felt like I needed to leave. I actually turned around and started jogging back toward the parking lot before convincing myself that I was being ridiculous. It was late spring, the air was hot and humid, and I figured I was just looking for an excuse to cut my workout short, so I forced myself to keep going and finished the loop. Even so, I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right. As I rounded the final bend, I could see the gravel parking lot through the trees. A white cargo van had pulled in. It was parked directly beside my car. The parking lot was almost empty, with more than enough room to park anywhere else. There was absolutely no reason for the van to be right next to my vehicle. As I got a better look, I could see someone sitting in the driver's seat. They noticed me. The second I came into view from the trees, they disappeared from the front seat, but I never saw them get out. They simply leaned or climbed out of sight. And that was when I remembered something. My car wasn't locked. Because the park was always deserted on weekday afternoons, I had gotten into the habit of leaving it unlocked while I ran. Every alarm bell started going off. Instead of walking into the parking lot, I ran across the nearby highway to a house where a man was mowing his lawn. I know it probably sounded strange, but I explained exactly what I had seen and asked if he would walk back to my car with me because I was afraid someone might be hiding in the van. He agreed without hesitation. The two of us then walked back together and I got into my car. I locked the doors immediately and left. I never found out who was inside that van or what they were doing. Maybe the driver had simply leaned into the back to grab some tools or organize something. But the combination of that overwhelming feeling of dread and having that van parked inches from my car in an otherwise empty lot seemed a bit too suspicious for me. Whether it was intuition or coincidence, listening to that feeling led me to ask for help instead of taking a chance. That was the last time I ever went there for a solo run in an isolated area. To whoever was waiting in that cargo van, let's never meet. When we were kids, summer meant freedom. No homework, no teachers, no school. And as adults, summer still means freedom thanks to Mint Mobile's summer sale. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. I made the switch to Mint a while back, and the freedom thing really does hit different when you're not dreading your wireless bill every single month. There aren't any surprises or contracts. It's straightforward service that really works. The savings were immediate and the quality never skipped a beat. I use Mint Mobile and you should too. Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right. Premium wireless for just $15 a month. Bring your own phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meet. That's mintmobile.com/meet. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meet. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, and $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabyte may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage vary. See mintmobile.com. I have a lot of distance from this situation now, so I finally feel comfortable sharing it. When I lived in Boulder, Colorado, I was living in a motel-style apartment. It was located off campus. It was mostly students living there, and I was on the first floor. There was a large window right above my bed. Now, there were many signs that the stalker had been watching me for months before I fully realized the situation. It started with a few inconsistencies. A disposable camera was stolen from my car, and a random movie poster was left there as well. But most notably, I had seen a man in a bright orange hoodie with his hood up, walking back and forth past my living room window about 20 times one day. I was on the phone with my boyfriend when I noticed him at first, and I made a comment to him about it, but I figured I was overreacting. 2 months after I initially noticed him, my boyfriend was out of town with his family on a trip, so I was watching his dog. I woke up earlier than normal to walk his dog at around 6 a.m. Afterwards, I got back into bed and was on my phone. At one point, at around 6 a.m., I looked up from my phone, and the same man in the bright orange hoodie was standing at the window right above my bed, looking at me. We were essentially 1 foot apart, with the wall and the window being the only thing between us. He didn't leave. He just continued to stare at me for about 30 seconds while I was frozen in shock, before he finally walked away. I immediately hid under the bed and called the police. I put two and two together and realized all of these coincidences probably weren't coincidences, and he may have been coming by and watching me sleep for possibly months. This was the first time I acknowledged him, though, and he seemed excited about it. The police told me to close all my blinds and get a camera. They also said this was common in Boulder, considering the high student and transplant population. I told the police that he didn't seem like anyone who lived in my building, so they checked with my building manager. They ended up confirming he didn't live there, so that meant he was coming from elsewhere, specifically to watch me sleep. I did as I was told, and I closed the blinds. However, about 2 hours after the police officers left, he came back and banged on my window and tried to open my door, which always automatically locked. I was absolutely terrified. I called the police again and I left town to go be with my boyfriend and his family for the next few days. When I got back, I never planned to stay at my apartment alone at night, but I figured I could unpack things as it had been a few days and he probably realized I had been gone. Within an hour of my being back, he was back, and this time he held up a camera through the crack of the blinds and held up a knife behind the camera. He was slowly walking by, making sure that I saw him. I called the police for a third and final time, and they made an official report, and I moved out of my apartment within the week. I never saw him again, but from time to time, I do check my old apartment's reviews on Google because they tried to charge me for $1,800. And they did this while knowing about the situation, which I thought was insane. Colorado doesn't seem to have great laws for protecting stalking victims from these fees. Anyway, I checked the reviews again recently, considering what the Idaho killer had been up to, and how much it reminded me of my own situation. I saw a review about a man chasing girls around with a knife. She said that the building management had done nothing about it. It was from a parent, and I reached out to her personally on Facebook. It turns out the same man in the bright orange hoodie attacked her daughter in the parking lot at 4 a.m. with a knife. He tried to stab her as she was getting into her car. He stabbed her car when he failed to get her and tried to slash her tires as she was trying to escape. He's still out there, too. This happened a while ago when I lost my house. It went down in a hurricane, and I've been staying in different places since then while I'm getting back on my feet. I have insomnia, so I frequently find myself awake at 4 a.m. In this particular instance, in order to give myself something to do, I decided to take a walk to my old house, which was just a few blocks away from where I was staying. My porch is just about the only thing still standing. Well, I sat down on it to have a smoke, as I do every once in a while. And as I was doing this, two men pulled up on bikes. They were riding around the street making noise and acting a bit odd. Given the hour that it was, this wasn't completely normal. One of them called out to me and asked for a smoke. I told him it was my last one, even though that wasn't true. I just didn't want to chance him coming into the yard. After a minute of him and his buddy talking in the street, he came over to me on his bike. This meant that he did end up coming into my yard to talk to me. It gave me a bad feeling. The neighborhood has been on the decline in recent years, and I honestly didn't trust this person. He asked me again if I had a smoke. I apologized and said no. Then he asked me if I had anything to drink. I thought the fact that most of the home was in piles on the ground behind me would have made it obvious that I didn't. Nonetheless, I told him no. He then reached into his bag and said, "Well, I've got something for you." Then he began rummaging through his backpack. While that was going on, I noticed that his buddy was looking back and forth, almost like he was looking out for something specific. I had my 9mm in my front pocket of my hoodie, and thankfully, before he walked into my yard, I already had my hand in my pocket. I couldn't see what he was fumbling for in his bag, but I could hear a snap, followed by what sounded like something being pulled against leather. I used my thumb in my pocket to take the safety off of the pistol, which made a louder metallic click than I was expecting. His ears kind of jumped when he heard it, so he zipped his bag back up and said, "Oh, sorry, I guess I didn't have anything for you." His friend started pedaling away before he did, but he wasn't far behind. I assumed he was trying to pull something out like a knife, but I'll never really know for sure. I got an overall creepy vibe from them. They continuously asked for things that I didn't have. They saw the state of my home, so they should know that I have nothing of value. It seemed like they still had malicious intent, though. For safety reasons, I'm not taking any more nostalgic trips to my old house at night. I think that that was a sign for me, letting me know that it's time to move forward and get the hell out of this town. Do you know what the most underrated organ in your body is? I'd say it's your liver. It's doing 500 plus functions every single day, filtering unwanted elements, supporting digestion, helping with energy, but we never think about it until something's wrong. What if we actually supported it before problems started? That's exactly what Dose for Your Liver is designed for. Dose for Your Liver is a clinically backed liver health supplement, and it isn't just another capsule or powder. Dose is a liquid supplement taken in a daily 2-ounce shot, and it tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice. It cleanses the liver of unwanted stressors that slow down your liver and promotes daily liver function so your liver can do its job. Zero sugar, zero junk, and zero calories. When you're supporting your liver daily with Dose, you can expect to reduce sluggishness, get rid of those midday crashes, support your metabolism, and aid your daily digestion. And you can trust it. Dose has real results backed by 2 double-blind placebo-controlled studies showing its positive impact on your liver enzyme levels. Modern life is rough on the body. Processed foods, stress, late nights. Your liver is working overtime to filter all of that out, and Dose helps keep it up. And it doesn't hurt that it actually tastes really good. I actually look forward to taking my Dose shot every day. Ready to give your liver the support it deserves? Head to dosedaily.co/meat or enter meat to get 35% off your first subscription. Your body does so much for you. Let's do something for it. That's dosedaily.co/meat for 35% off your first month's subscription. This happened when I was 14. I'm 17 at the moment, but the memory still lingers. I was home alone that night because my mom was working an overnight shift and my older brother didn't live at home at the time, so I had the house to myself. I'd say it was maybe 9:30 p.m. I was in my room working on homework and listening to music with my headphones in. It was so loud I couldn't hear anything. I remember that all of the other doors were locked. And I stayed home pretty often, so I didn't have a reason to worry. About 1 hour later, I decided to take my headphones out and take a break from homework. I heard noises in the kitchen and footsteps walking around downstairs, which was odd, because my mom wasn't supposed to be home until 7 in the morning. It was possible that she could have taken an early night, for whatever reason, but just to make sure, I locked my bedroom door and I texted her, asking if she came home. It took her about 10 minutes to respond, and when she did, she said no, and told me that she was still at work. At that point, I was freaking out because my mom and brother were the only ones with keys to the house besides myself. So I decided to text my brother. He also said that he wasn't in the house, so I told both him and my mom about the situation. My brother wasn't far from the house, so he said that he would be home soon and to call the cops. As I was trying to find a hiding spot in my room with my phone to call the police, I heard my name being called from downstairs, so I wondered, did whoever was in my house know me personally? Was it a family friend? I didn't respond to who was calling out to me, though, because I didn't recognize the voice. I called the cops, and I was on the phone with them when my name was called again. The person said, "I know you're up there." And I heard someone starting to walk up the stairs. Again, I didn't respond, but I was terrified. The police assured me that they were on their way and to stay put. I was still texting my brother while all of this was happening. He informed me that he was 5 minutes away. And then I heard the front door slam. 5 minutes later, the police arrived and assured me that it was them. They said that I could come out, and shortly after that, my brother arrived back home. The police looked around the property and all over the house, but there was no trace of whoever was there. However, there was damage to the door and the lock from being forced open. The police told us this appeared to be done by some sort of tool to pick the lock. Everything turned out okay because nothing was taken, but the upsetting part is that whoever was at my house wasn't found. After that night, we got cameras installed and a better lock. This happened from 2020 until January 2022, over the course of the time I lived in this apartment. I'm a woman. I was 21 years old at the time. My husband, who was my then boyfriend, was 22. We had just moved into our downstairs apartment. We loved it. It was our first place that wasn't a dorm, and we didn't have roommates. When we first moved in, we only had one cat, but over time we ended up with two cats and a dog. The way that this apartment was set up was duplex style, so each building had only four apartment units. There were two on the bottom and two on the top. We had the bottom right apartment, and behind us was a cemetery. We would often joke that at least our neighbors were quiet. However, we were wrong. The first time our upstairs neighbor had an issue, he stood outside of his apartment and slammed his door open and closed for about 10 minutes straight. We couldn't figure out what was wrong. Did we close our door too loudly? He wouldn't communicate with us what the issue was, but anytime we did something quote-unquote wrong, he would convey this message by slamming his door for 10 minutes straight, shaking our whole apartment building. The night before I was flying out for our wedding, we spent the whole day at work, and then we went to dinner for a late night meal. We were trying to have a nice night for our last night together as fiancés. We came home and I was having an anxiety attack, wondering if I had packed everything that I needed. My fiancé was trying to talk me through the anxiety attack when our neighbor came flying down the stairs yelling at us. He was saying something about how we made noise all day, and he told us that he couldn't believe we were so inconsiderate of him. My fiancé became defensive of me and told him to fuck off, as he was trying to protect me. Once we were back inside, my fiancé went upstairs to talk to him. We figured he was complaining about the cat tree, since every time our cat jumped on it, it was hitting the wall. This was easy enough to resolve, as far as we could tell, so we moved the cat tree from the wall and hoped that would be the end of it. When we returned from our honeymoon, we assumed everything would be good. My husband even tried to befriend the neighbor, as they both played games online. My husband asked the neighbor if, instead of slamming the door, he could message us on Discord that he had an issue. He agreed, but that didn't happen. I decided to call the apartment complex office to let them know what had been going on. They were understanding and said that they would reach out to the property managers. The husband of the property management team told us that we were making everything up. He lived in the other unit upstairs. He said that he would know if his neighbor was slamming the door 10 minutes straight, and he told us to stop making waves. By this point, it was the end of 2021, and I had spent my time in this apartment in fear every single day. The rent was dirt cheap, though. It was like $600 for a one-bedroom apartment, which was a great find. So we were going to tough it out. Then my husband was told that he was getting a promotion, so we were moving to the East Coast. We were so excited, so he left while I was finishing packing the apartment. I tried to be the perfect neighbor because my husband was gone. I used my headphones for everything and closed stuff very slowly. I absolutely did not want to make waves, especially since I was by myself. About a week before I was due to start the drive across the country, my friend and people from my husband's work were helping load up our U-Haul box for the day. After that, my friend and I decided to go into town for the rest of the day, since my apartment was empty aside from the bed, which was on the ground. I dropped her off at her house after we were done and then got home at around 6 p.m. I decided to put my earphones in and vacuum since it wasn't too late. After I vacuumed, I took out the trash and locked the front door, then planned to lie down and watch TikTok. My husband was always on my case because I would often forget to lock the front door. So I laid down with my earphones in, and I watched TikTok for maybe 20 minutes when I heard someone at my front door pounding on it. I knew the voice that was accompanying the pounding. It was the upstairs neighbor. My dog was freaked out, trying to crawl into my skin, while my male cat was at the window hissing at him. The neighbor was pounding on my windows and yelling that he was going to kill me. I called my mom, who was four states away. She told me to call 911 and not her. I was also texting my husband and another friend as I was whispering to 911 that my upstairs neighbor was at my door threatening to kill me. I then heard him trying to open the door. Since it was a small town, the cops were there very quickly. They took him away, and the next thing I knew, I was in my living room with two cops. I couldn't speak. I just kept asking if he was really gone. They assured me he was, and they told me that he was going to jail for the night. My friend, who lived an hour away, had loaded up her husband in the car and driven to my apartment to get me. I spent the night at my friend's house that night. My mom arrived the next day, and I called the apartment complex again to tell them what happened. They finally believed me, and didn't really have a choice in the matter since I sent them the police report. My mom and I then started the drive to the East Coast early, as I wanted to close that chapter, and I wasn't getting any sleep with nightmares. We were in the middle of the Midwest when someone from the hospital where he was committed called me to tell me that they had released him. They said I needed to call the cops for an order of protection because he was still threatening my life. I said I was halfway across the country, so he couldn't get me now. They said it was for the best, given the hatred towards me. So, I guess his final straw was hearing me vacuum at 6 p.m. I'm grateful that my door was locked that night because, as I said, I had a habit of not doing so, and my husband was kind of on me for that. I couldn't be left alone for months after this happened. I was constantly checking to see if he had found where we had moved to, but it didn't seem like he had. In 2023, we came to a plea agreement since he moved home to his parents in Alaska, and in his plea, I said that if he got help, I would drop the charges. We now have a pit bull who's being trained to guard me at night so I can sleep, and I always lock the front door when I enter my apartment. If you don't want to listen to ads and you want to get bonus content every single week, head over to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. All of the episodes are ad-free and you get extra stories in those bonus extensions every single week. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Again, that's patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast. If you're already a patron, stick around after the music. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. And be sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Odd Trails and the Old Time Radio Casts, wherever you get your podcasts. This week you have heard The Stranger at the Party by Court Foam, My Weird Landlord by Mistress Mabel, My Unforgettable Encounter by Rare Inevitable 2351, My Neighbor Was Outside My Bedroom Window at 2:37 a.m. by Anonymous, Almost Snatched from the Front Yard by Wicked KD, My Allotment Neighbor by Academic Birthday 66, Wooded Rural Trail by Glad Compote 3139, Peeping Tom with a Knife by Blue 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Malicious Intent by Crossbow Hunter, The Stranger Who Knew My Name by Liv Miara 10, and finally, I Was Afraid to Make a Noise in My Own Apartment by Anonymous. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet a True Horror Podcast is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. Again, send your stories to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next week. Stay safe. Between my freshman and sophomore years of college.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.